How do you talk to your children about racism and inequality? A new program helps African-American families have honest conversations about these tough issues and work on their coping skills. From WHYY's Behavioral Health Desk, Ann Hoffman reports.
When Barbara Ellis was younger, growing up in small-town West Texas, she remembers dancing with a white friend.
And some of his friends were saying horrible things to him for dancing with me. And he kept that from me. I don't think he told me for like a year.
But when she did find out, it was hard for her family and friends to have a larger conversation about the painful experience.
Those weren't conversations that we had. It was just, you know, that person is awful and just forget about it.
Ellis just finished the Embrace program with her 13-year-old son, Pierce. It's a 5-week program that includes individual and family therapy. The program unpacks common responses to a racist world and gives families different tools that can help them cope better. Rihanna Anderson, Embrace's developer and director, says kids who aren't prepared often bottle up frustration and anger.
You're going to internalize quite a bit and think about all the things you did wrong, what it is about me as a person, rather than this is what this person sees about a whole group of people.
So part of helping kids process racist acts or prepare for them is an exercise families do in sessions, thinking up comebacks.
The racial comebacks are a way of saying, in a sense, I know you are, but what am I?
But before people come up with their comeback they might really use, they get a chance to say the first thing that would come to their mind. And that can be really unfiltered. Then they get a chance to think about what would actually work well for them in that situation. That's usually more tempered and assertive. Anderson has a comeback of her own. Let's say somebody says to her that there's no need to talk about race because we live in a post-racial society.
So the comeback to that is, oh, when were we racial? And just ending it there, because people will ask you, like, you know, haven't we already dealt with this? Isn't there a time in history? And they'll try to put it on you. So then I just like to come back and say, like, well, what is it? When is it that we did do this? Can you tell me?
During the classes, 13-year-old Pierce thought about a painful situation that happened recently. While he waited for his mom to pick him up from orchestra practice one night, he saw a man on the street with his wife.
And he pulled his wife, fiance, closer and was like, let's hurry up. I don't want to get robbed. And he was looking right at me. So, and I was like the only person there. So I felt like that was directed towards me.
His mother says her first instinct as a parent would be to either go into advocacy mode or parrot the responses she used to hear as a kid.
What I would have said was, oh, you know, don't listen to him, or, you know, just which erases his emotions in that moment.
What she found out through the program was that those responses made Pierce feel like she didn't totally see him. She shifted her response to a more curious, how do you feel and what would you like to do about it? And Pierce says he's noticed the change. So he thought about the fact that in reality, he had cause to be afraid. He was carrying an expensive viola on his back. So what's the result of thinking up that comeback with the knowledge that his mom supports his emotional reaction?
I think it makes me feel more like supported and like what I'm doing, like knowing that, like getting like reassurance that, like knowing that I didn't do anything wrong.
The hardest week for Barbara Ellis was the one where the program touched on police killings of unarmed black men and the kinds of conversations she'll have to have with her sons.
Just to even have to have that conversation with my 13-year-old. When I think about it, it makes me want to cry.
She says Embrace helped her shift from conversations like this.
I've heard it said, and I think it's kind of common. And within black families, just do what you need to do to come home.
To exercises where kids can actually talk through these possibilities with their families and what they could reasonably do. They talk about how to advocate for oneself and how to not feel continually disempowered.
I think that that's more hopeful for me as opposed to conversations where it's just always kind of shrouded in a level of fear.
Rihanna Anderson agrees. She acknowledges that there are so many things that are beyond someone's control and that no one can really know if a situation is ever fully safe. But she says that what her program can do is help families assert their voice. And that in itself is powerful. Ann Hoffman, WHYY News.